Money FM 89.3, best of breakfast. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3. I'm Adrian Abraham with Lin Li Fu. Now, Lin, security guards in Singapore, we're forever grateful to them because they keep us safe. They make sure that, you know, we can sleep well at night and
work
just
very long shifts too.
Exactly. But how do they keep going? I mean, the hours are long. The pay may not be as good. But, you know, from abuse to wage stagnation, you mentioned the long working hours, 12-hour shifts, 6 days a week. Security guards in Singapore have it tough. A recent survey by the Union of Security Employees stated that 4 in 10 face abuse at work and 6 in 10 are planning to leave.
The role of security officers in residential, commercial, office and even social spaces, Adrian, are often stretched too thin as they need to manually do inspections, capture site evidence and even keep tenants safe and informed at all times. Without the aid of technology and long hours, many security guards are reluctant to continue working in Singapore.
Absolutely. And with cost savings a priority, Strostec, that's the company we're going to be talking about today, is aiming to bridge the gap between security technology companies and security guarding agencies. Joining us on the show to tell us about how we can solve the labor crunch in the security manpower industry is Munir Mohammed, founder of Strostec. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for having me here.
Welcome to the show, Munir. Munir, how did the idea of Strostec come about? I'm sure there's an anecdote that you'd like to share with us.
Interesting question. If you think about it, I mean, I didn't go out and tell myself I was going to be an entrepreneur. Actually, it came about almost as a necessity, in fact. I'd been working in the security industry on and off for close to 20 years. I had already gone from a security guard to a project engineer and eventually a project manager and a consultant. It was actually at my last job that this ex-colleague of mine approached me to join his newly minted startup. So at that time, the word startup is, you know, very interesting, very sexy and very sleek. So I left this consulting firm I was in and I joined him. Unfortunately, his investors pulled out, so he decided to close down. So I was at that time, out of a job, I was seeking a new one. I came across this clip by Jack Ma, something about starting your business in your 30s and 40s, etc., that kind of thing. And I was almost 40, clock was ticking, so I decided, why not give it a go? Mm-hmm. After I had all the experience and knowledge and context, so I took all the lessons I learned from that brief time in the startup and all the pain points that I had when I was working as a security guard all the way up. And I researched technology solutions to solve these pain points, and voila, that's how Strostec came about.
Munir, how can we improve the current state of Singapore's security workforce? This from training to technology. We want to make it better.
Oh, wow. That's a very good question, Jun. So where do I begin? Well, I mean, judging from the recent survey by USC and SUSS, right, it indicates already that there's some positive improvement, just some positive improvements, right? But it also brought up some issues that require significant work. I mean, 6 out of 10 security officers are considering seeking new jobs and 4 in 10 of them have faced some form of mistreatment. So security officers themselves are human. They want to be treated with the same respect as everyone else. They also want to know that they're part of something. They know they want to find, like, you know, ways to look at themselves as, you know, being part of this very important part of this security landscape, in a sense. So I think SAs also can look at not just, you know, the typical WSQ courses that are security related, like screening, etc., all that stuff. They can also look at learning soft skills. So, for example, like, you know, customer service, effective communication skills, conflict resolution. So during my time, when I was a security guard, I had to take and learn these all on my own. But I think now, you know, security agencies can tap on government funding to send their staff for these kind of courses. At the same time, I mean, from the survey itself, you can see that there is some beefing up of technology use and training. That's really good. But we also have to empathize with the SOs here. Mm-hmm. I mean, are they trained sufficiently before they're being deployed to use this system? Yeah. And are the technology that they use user-friendly in the first place? It's very important for the security agencies to also invest in the right and suitable technology. So in a sense, there should be an active consultation process with the security officers during the selection of that technology process, in a sense. You know, after all, they are the ones using it on the site as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure training will be a very, very motivating factor for these security guards. But should outcome-based contracts be the norm for existing security arrangements?
So I'm actually really glad you asked this question. If you actually Google outcome-based contracts, right on the first page, below the article by Ministry of Home Affairs and Singapore Police Force, boom, you actually see this link of an article from our company website, which I actually wrote. I've also been writing a white paper also on the topic as well. So I can safely say I'm of the opinion that an outcome-based contracts are actually the way forward. However, I mean, we also have to be mindful of the limitations of certain security agencies. Not all security agencies have sufficient technology expertise, just like how we wouldn't expect, you know, CCTV installers to know how to deploy manpower, right? Also, a third and crucial player in this engaging in OBCs is a security consultant. So they are the people who come up with the security audit, the risk assessment, what really, really the pain points that the client is facing. So I think eventually what you're going to see is to embrace this OBC engagement is a kind of like a managed security providers. These are companies that can provide security consulting, technology and manpower all rolled into one. And they are the people who will be coming out into the market to hold the client's hand, walk them through the entire process, all the way throughout the entire duration of the contract itself.
Munir, I'm quite intrigued. How have those working in the security sector reacted to a company like StrossTech?
This is actually quite strange. In a sense, you know, we didn't come out guns blazing. What happened was we've actually found a lot of positive response and inquiries. And we've also received a lot of positive calls to collaborate, especially during that COVID pandemic. I think some other people decided to, hey, let's rally together instead of squabbling. So it was actually quite useful for us also because, you know, in some aspects, we are still acquiring licenses to provide the entire full suite of our service. So what happens is when we are able to collaborate with these partners that we have, we are actually able to already begin offering this full suite that we want to offer as well. At the same time also, as we start to realize, right, as the pandemic slows down, we've seen an uptick in our solutions. So these partners that we actually collaborated with initially, they're very appreciative of our transparent model, right? So because of that, they still want to continue collaborating with us as well.
Let's take a step back. What about those who want to get into the security sector? What is the biggest trend in security technology that, you know, potential people who want to get into security would want to know about?
So, you know, that's actually a very interesting question. Currently, you know, for us, even as a security business, we actually are concerned when we come across articles whereby, you know, there's actually like there are 6 out of 10 people want to leave. But at the same time, you know, we realize that by offering them, you know, this kind of technology training, a lot of people also are very, very much interested in learning about it as well. If I were to look at it, right, I would actually see that a lot of this introduction of cloud-based platforms, right, I think a pull factor in a sense for maybe the younger ones joining the workforce in a sense. I think they look at that as like kind of like gaining a little edge in a way, and that's actually quite attractive for them. Of course, I mean, there's also the PWM model that they can actually go about, you know, to join and learn. First, they can be an SO, and then from there, they can move on to a security supervisor, etc. But we also bulk them up also with all these other forms of little technology training and like communication skills and all these soft skills as well at the same time.
Now, talking about the progressive wage model, how has it helped security people in security from leaving their jobs?
So interesting, actually. You see, in a sense, right, the PWM model has reduced perceptions of job insecurities for our security officers. This has and will continue to play a part in improving manpower retention in the industry. I mean, however, as I mentioned earlier, there's still some work to be done, you know, and there's only so much that can be legislated. At the end of the day, this also sort of, you know, goes down again to the businesses themselves, you know. I give you one example, right? We talk about, like, example, a four-day work week. So, but what about the long hours that the security officers are facing, right? 12-hour days, 6 days a week, you know? Yeah. How do they continue to battle that fatigue and still remain vigilant? So have we as the businesses looked at other sectors? Example, like in manufacturing, 12-hour, 4-day weeks, or 5-day, 8-hour business cycles, you know, that kind of thing. So these are like ways that not just only the PWM model can be used, but at the same time also businesses can also adopt these kind of practices as well.
Munir, next week, 14th February, Singapore's budget. It's also Valentine's Day. Can we expect those working in the security sector to get a little bit of love on the 14th of February?
So I can relay my hopes. In essence, I think, you know, if you look at the PWM model and funding for training, I think that's actually very good. On the other hand, also, I mean, at the same time, also, we also mentioned how, you know, the engagement with the security officers are ongoing, because these kind of surveys are, you know, are being introduced, and continuous engagement with security officers are very important in a sense. What I can hope for is actually a better work-life balance for security officers. I hope that, you know, they can look at career trajectories, you know, not just only from SO to CSO, but SO to CSO to operations manager and eventually a consultant or even more. We also hope that there will be more, you know, attraction for the youth as well to enter the industry. And I think the best way to show this attraction to the youth is to show that the security is like a viable career path with work-life balance as well, you know, that kind of thing.
All right. Thank you very much, Munir, for your insights into the security sector. We've been speaking to Munir Muhammad, founder of StrossTech, about how we can solve the labor crunch in the security manpower industry.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcast at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.